Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the March NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Tim, could you read the open public meeting notice, please?
Morning, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of the date, time, and location of this meeting has been provided to the Office of the Secretary of State, the Bergen Record, the Trentonian, and the Star-Ledger.
Thank you. Manera, could you call the roll, please?
Chairman Terry O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Farlow. Phil Eladia. Fred Dumont.
Here.
Jewel Antoine Johnson.
Here.
Marcia Morley.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Aaron Cruz from the Executive Branch.
Here.
Aaron Binder for State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Commissioner Robert Angelo.
Here.
Manuel Polino for Commissioner Zimmerman.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Sean Lazarette.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Mayor.
Before we get into the meat of the meeting, I regret to open the meeting on a somber and sad note. The EDA lost a family member last week when Anna Mandio, who joined us in 2021, passed away after a battle with cancer. She's in all of our hearts this morning and always. And I would ask us to just observe a brief moment of silence and keep her and her family in your thoughts and prayers and wish them our condolences. Thank you, everybody. Chairman.
Thank you. I want to move now to approval of the previous month's minutes. There are two sets of minutes for approval today. We have the February 24th special board meeting minutes. I just want to remind board members to state their name for the record when making a motion or a second. Could I hear a motion to approve the February 28th board meeting minutes, please? Thank you. Second.
Fantastic.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Secondly, the February 24th, 2025 executive session special board meeting minutes. Can I hear a motion to approve? Thank you. Second.
Yes, fantastic. Second.
Thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Give some brief remarks. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to the NJEDA's March board meeting. We have a full house today and a full agenda, and I think this is our second meeting on Teams. So thank you to the team for organizing this. It worked very smoothly last time, and hopefully it will again, and this will become a regular part of our meetings. Under Governor Murphy's leadership, New Jersey has bolstered its position as a leader in innovation. And the NJEDA has been at the forefront of unlocking resources that companies need to grow and thrive in the Garden State. The past few years have been dominated by breakthroughs surrounding artificial intelligence, or AI, and how it will change the way we live, work, and communicate. As the governor highlighted in his budget address a few weeks ago, AI presents a tremendous economic opportunity for the state's entrepreneurs and is poised to play an integral part in New Jersey's economic future. Today, the board will be asked to consider the approval of two programs that will attract and support AI companies and bolster AI innovation in the state. the next New Jersey program will award tax credits to eligible businesses investing in large-scale AI data centers and AI-related development projects, helping to attract significant private investment and create hundreds of high-paying jobs in the emerging industry. Additionally, the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant Program will award a one-time grant to an eligible entity to hold an AI Innovation Challenge that will be open to the public. Contests will give residents, researchers, entrepreneurs, students the opportunity to identify critical policy and public sector challenges facing the state and develop innovative AI solutions. The two programs that will be considered today complement new and existing NJEDA initiatives that strengthen the state's AI sector. Through our Strategic Innovation Center initiative, NJEDA is partnering with Princeton University, Microsoft, and CoreWeave to establish the NJ AI Hub, which will serve as a state-of-the-art collaborative ecosystem that integrates world-class research, innovation, education, and workforce development. Other strategic innovation centers, such as the recently announced Nokia Bell Labs Innovation Center and Bell Labs Venture Studio, will focus heavily on AI development. Existing NJEDA programs, such as the Angel Match Program and the New Jersey Innovation Fellows Program, support AI entrepreneurs and startup companies with investment capital and mentorship opportunities. Through continued investment by the NJEDA and continued leadership by Governor Murphy, New Jersey is poised to lead on AI research and development, which will enhance the state's economic competitiveness, attract high-paying sustainable jobs, and contribute to the Garden State's longstanding legacy of innovation. With that, let me turn it over to Tim for the CEO's report.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. We have a bunch to get through, so I'll try to be brief, but even within my little part of the program, I have a bunch to get through. So I'll start with, you have a one-pager in front of you. Looks a bit like this. Thank you, Maggie, for being so nice, which is a summary of the budget implications for EDA. The governor released his budget a little less than 2 weeks ago. Obviously, you know, as the governor mentioned throughout his budget address, the economy and economic development, economic growth, front and center. Watched the speech, heard the speech. You know, you heard a lot of the same things that Terry, the chairman, was just articulating around strategic innovation centers and economic security and AI and innovation and small business and all the manufacturing and all the themes that we talk so often about at this board. I won't go through line by line other than say in a challenging budget year, grateful for the governor's continued support and investment for lots of the things. Nearly all the things we do, lots of the things we do, particularly strategic innovation centers, proposed for another $20 million of funding, $9 million more for Main Street recovery, another $5 million for cannabis, and then some other smaller line items, although they're millions of dollars, they're small in the grand scheme of things, but they're small compared to some of the other line items. Obviously, we'll see what the legislature has to say about all this and see what comes back in the final product around the end of June, but our team stands ready to implement all this and continue to make smart investments in targeted ways. The governor also announced in the speech, not a ton of detail, that there's some legislating to do in a manufacturing tax credit program that would come before this board for rules and regs, much like we'll do the next NJAI one in a few minutes, proposing to repurpose some underused tax credits to support manufacturing expansion, particularly in a context of tariffs and reshoring and all that, the opportunity to help New Jersey manufacturers grow or new manufacturers come here from abroad or other states. So stay tuned on that. That's some exciting elements of the budget. Deep appreciation, obviously, to the governor, Liz, Aaron, everybody at Treasury and OMB for your continued support for everything we do. It's been a busy month of events and activities. We had a great, right after we finished our last board meeting at the end of February, we had a great Black History Month event with four or five entrepreneurs right around the corner here in Trenton. We will, in March, celebrate Women's History Month with a similar event. I think we're doing that in Montclair toward the end of the month. And then we've also had a bunch of announcements and fun events, including the release of the lineup for North Shore. We were in Newark Energy Pack last week, announcing the governor and first lady, Charlie Lowry from Prudential, Mayor Baraka, Mayor Moore from Asbury Park, John Schreiber from PAC, rolling out a really exciting lineup. I've never heard of most of the acts, which probably means they're cool and good. That's the kind of acts we should have. People seem excited about it, which is a good thing. Then the very next day, a little early for Women's History Month, but focusing on maternal and infant health, which we'll talk about later today as well, I joined the First Lady, a number of elected officials in Princeton to announce a number of grants made by the Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology to support maternal and infant health innovation and early-stage startups in that arena. So lots of exciting and good things going on. On the challenges outlook side, it's worth noting, you know, we're keeping our eye constantly and checking our news feeds on everything going on at the federal level. Hard to find, candidly, good news for anything we're looking for at the federal level with regard to policy shifts and funding adjustments, let's go with, including as recently as last night, you know, the EPA making announcements about things related to the Green Bank funding. Doesn't impact the thing we'll ask for your consideration of in a few minutes, but, you know, the volatility and the depth of potential challenges that, you know, present themselves to the state. I'm looking at peers in the cabinet who are all dealing with this as well in their own lanes. But, you know, the state gets between $20 and $27 billion of federal funding every year. That's, you know, a lot of money. There's, you know, the EDA slice of that is relatively small compared to other. Slice of our funding that comes from the feds is small compared to other agencies. So, you know, we're well positioned to weather the storm, but it's something we're spending a fair bit of time thinking about. We had an executive session topic on this last time. There hasn't candidly been a ton of new developments in those 2 weeks. I'm not sure we'll do one today, but it is something that is, you know, front and center on our mind, whether we want it to be or not, from a risk management, risk mitigation, dealing with the facts as they evolve. We have a special guest in Wes Matthews, I'm going to hand the floor to. But you're not quite done yet. Hold on, Wes. No, that was a pretty... That was the you're on deck notification. You're not batter up. Because before we do that, I have some bittersweet commemoration to do in that today is the last board meeting of George Santos. We're just moving on to greener, different pastures, greener pastures, newer pastures, Newark Alliance, the chief development officer there. George has been with us for a little more than 5 years. He joined us in late 2019. If you recall, that was a pretty, all 7+ years have been challenging in their own ways. So that was a particularly challenging period in the EDA's history. And then we went straight from that into COVID. He was my chief of staff, our chief of staff for a number of years, then took over the real estate portfolio a couple of years ago and has done an extraordinary job. And we've seen more Aspire approvals here than probably any other program. Certainly any other program from a dollar figure perspective. I have a letter to read to you from Governor. Dear George, it's spelled right and pronounced right. I am pleased to extend my sincere congratulations and recognition to you upon your departure from an extraordinary career as Chief Real Estate Development Officer at NJEDA. Throughout your tenure, you served NJEDA and the people of New Jersey in numerous leadership roles, from Chief of Staff to Chief Real Estate Development Officer. Your leadership was instrumental in navigating critical legislative initiatives, overseeing the successful reimagination of the Aspire program, and guiding the real estate team through significant capital projects. George, your insight and passion for creating transformational opportunities made a lasting impact on the EDA and the communities it serves. On behalf of the state of New Jersey, I applaud you for all the extraordinary work you've done as a vital leader in New Jersey's economic development initiatives, as well as your incredible efforts in real estate, infrastructure, and strategic sector development. As you embark upon this new and exciting chapter in your life, you should take pride in knowing that you've made a tremendous impact on the Garden State, and your legacy at NJEDA will be remembered for years to come. Congratulations again, and best wishes for good health and happiness as you start a new chapter in your career. My very best, Philip D. Murphy, Governor of New Jersey. One person who's part of the EDA and has done well in life to another EDA alum. It is my privilege to introduce to you Wes Matthews. Wes, for those of you who don't know, was with us for the first 2+ years of the Murphy administration. He now runs and is the president and CEO of Choose New Jersey. He is a touring diplomat, having served posts in Riyadh, Islamabad, Lagos, Delhi, Trenton.
That was a hardship post.
That was a hardship post, exactly. But he is here, and is a segue. We'll be considering some funding or contract that we have with Choose New Jersey, so that was a good opportunity to have Wes come in and tell the Choose story and give a little color on what you've done with the money that the state's provided to these various budgets and contracts. So without further ado,
thank you,
Wes Matthews.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you, Terry, and to the board for spending a few minutes allowing us to talk about Choose and what we've done. I think we have a few slides to present, but in summary, if I take 5 minutes and you hear one word from me, that's just thanks. We really appreciate this partnership we have with the EDA to kind of advance New Jersey to the world. And I think we've done a fair job doing that. We have a chance to continue doing that in the year ahead and hopefully for many years after that. New Jersey, as you all know, has a great story to tell. We have an unbelievable value proposition. Over the last maybe 7-8 years ago, we felt that we could tell that story better It's what drew me out of federal government service to come here in 2018, start of the year, to team up with my partners at the EDA. I presented a memo to Tim about creating an Office of International Trade and Investment. He seemed to like the idea.
I'm going
to
read it to
him. Yeah, that's right. He seemed to like the idea. And so we were kind of off to the races. And the idea was when Governor Murphy was an ambassador in Germany, he hosted probably two dozen of U.S. governors into Germany with delegations. And he always wondered why New Jersey, why we weren't waving our flag abroad. And so when he became governor, he asked if you must think through a strategy where we can get New Jersey kind of on the world stage a little bit more. And over the past 7 years, both at the EDA and now at CHOOSE, I think we've done a fair job of doing that. So again, thank you. I'm joined by Carly Ronco. Carly is our marketing director. Most of the work and the money that you have given CHOOSE has been in marketing the state and in our business attraction efforts. And for that, Carly Ronco, she's also, as young as she looks, she's our oldest tenured employee at CHOOSE. She's been there 10 years. So she's seen the perspective and across administrations in the work that we've done. CHOOSE, by the way, for those that might not know, we're a C3 nonprofit. We sit right outside of state government. We're hand in glove with Tim and our partners at the EDA, as well as the front office, the Business Action Center, other branches of state government, with one mission. We're not a policy advocacy shop. Our job is simply to promote the state and the state's interest and our economic toolkit to potential corporate partners. Next slide, please. So again, why do we need a CHOOSE if we have an EDA or a Business Action Center or other parts of the government that seems to do a similar job? One, being a nonprofit that sits right outside of the state government apparatus, we happen to be a little bit more nimble, I'd say, than state government, whether we're talking to customers or we're deploying toolkits or suggesting sites for potential companies when they're considering their moves. That allows being a outside state agency gives us that nimbleness that oftentimes our partners in state government might not have. I say that, I often say, you know, there's a long spear of economic development that the state has. The bulk of it sits right here in this building. If CHOOSE is any part of that, we might be the tiny, you know, tip of that spear. And then I always tell my team, if we're the tiny front end of that spear, we have to be sharp, we have to be nimble, and we have to be responsive to the needs of our clients, but also we have to make sure that the rest of that sphere, which is the bulk handled in this building, that we're working in lockstep with them. I think through this grant over the last 2 years, we've been able to do that really well. And Carly has worked well with the teams here. I've worked really well with Tim. We often say we're one big family at the end of the day, and we'll get things done that need to be done, and I think we've done a great job. But again, over the last 2 years, if CHOOSE has had any success in what we've done, whether we've advertised the state better as an investment destination across the world, open new centers, ran economic missions. All of that starts here because of this grant. So again, thank you for your support for that. Next slide. So your money at work. For the last 2 years, we've deployed approximately $16 million from the NJEDA Business Attraction and Marketing Grant. We've deployed that in several ways. One is to expand our presence overseas. We'll get to that on the next slide in a few minutes. But we've really made an intentional effort to plant our flag in East Asia and the Federal Republic of California. Believe it or not, we're the only state, actually, that has an office in another state in the continental United States. And we did that by design because we are an innovation economy. We're not there to steal businesses from the Valley and bring them to New Jersey, but as companies expand, we'll take that, though, if they
we
want.
Would. It, yeah,
We will.
Close at that possibility.
Yeah. But our idea with that was twofold. One, as startups evolve and they're looking for a beachhead on the East Coast, we have our flag waving in their face to let them know there's more than Brooklyn or other parts of the Northeast that are not New Jersey. And two, to help bolster the work being done here around film and entertainment by having our man there work very closely with the film commission under John Crowley. And I think we've done a good job there. Again, marketing New Jersey to the world is a big deal. We launched a major campaign 2 years ago called This is New Jersey. Some of you might have seen some of the ads, some of the short commercials we've ran domestically that have done pretty well, creating awareness for New Jersey's top industries. All of this work, again, I think over the last 7 years has allowed us to compete more globally, but especially these last 2 years with CHOOSE working in partnership with the EDA through that grant, I think has really bolstered our efforts and gotten a lot more eyeballs looking at New Jersey. And we have the numbers to back that up. Before we get to that, next slide. So our presence overseas, next slide, please. So our office, we're headquartered in Newark, and we have 6 overseas points of presence. So we call them our global centers. We have 2 in Europe, 1 in Israel, 2 offices in India. It's 1 office managed out of Delhi, but we have a branch office in Bangalore in South India. India, for us, the biggest pipeline of potential leads, bar none, almost double that of all of Western Europe combined. We opened the Asia Pacific Center headquartered in Taiwan with spokes in Japan, Korea, and mainland China. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the West Coast Center, which we opened just in the spring of last year. So it's a global reach now for the state of New Jersey. We don't call these CHOOSE New Jersey centers. We call them New Jersey India Center, New Jersey Israel Center by design, because we're not here to market ourselves as an organization. We're there to market the state. So we have this state first idea. And some people might ask, why do we need these centers around the world? And I would say if we didn't, we'd lose some of that advantage that we've built over the last 7 years. Many other large economy American states have similar offices. I think we run ours really well. Actually, if you go back to history, one of my first projects when I worked with Tim in 2018, I went back to the annals at the Department of State. Back in the 80s and early 90s, New Jersey had a best in the nation model of running international operations. The state, under the former Department of Commerce, ran international centers in Europe, in China, and a couple other spots in Latin America. And so the idea when we started this, thinking through this in 2018, and 19, where to house them under CHOOSE, so that gives us, again, that flexibility outside of government to run them and then staff them by contractors and not full-time employees. And again, kudos and thank you to the EDA and that grant for helping bolster our efforts around the world. Next slide, please. So what has this meant? These are kind of mind-boggling statistics that, you know, numbers are so big might not mean much to you. But having boots on the ground in these regions is really paying off, whether it's in India, which is that top number in terms of increase in prospects from Indian companies, or in Israel, East Asia, even California. You've seen a marked increase in interest from companies in those regions in considering New Jersey. Again, a lot of these companies have never heard of. They've heard of New Jersey. They might have an auntie or uncle that lives here or a child that studies here, but they've never considered it as a business destination. Through the work of this grant, it's helped us kind of highlight our value proposition in parts of the world where we have historically had trade and investment flows into New Jersey and where we're taking a gamble, calculated gamble, on where we think the next phase of growth in terms of foreign direct investment into New Jersey will come from. Next slide. Now we get to some of the fun stuff. We trademarked New Jersey as the world state because, one, it's true, and two, it's a great way to highlight kind of our unmatched ecosystem in the Northeast as an ideal destination for business. Again, we've done a bit of sports marketing. You'll see that bottom left photo, which was in Philadelphia. We were doing stuff with the Sixers, maybe not so much anymore, Tim, but different stuff. But again, it's a good way to get eyeballs that we historically haven't had looking at New Jersey. We're trying to get them at different angles, and sports has been one of those ways over the last couple of years we've done that. We've partnered very closely with the EDA in a couple advertising campaigns, one around reproductive rights freedom, working with the Department of Health on that. One was on congestion pricing, which was really well. We did an iteration of that last year. We did an iteration again this year. I think this one was done really well. A lot of it was developed in-house by the marketing team in the EDA, so pat yourselves on the back for that. It was terrific. It's played really well. I'd like to take credit that that campaign helped help kill congestion pricing. next slide, please. Over with Bedminster.
That's right.
That's right. Again, a lot of our work on spotlighting top industries, we do that hand in hand with our partners here at the EDA. Our AI campaign has helped position New Jersey as a leader in this rapidly evolving ecosystem. Print ads, film publications, you have a copyright in front of you, at least the board does, particularly in Variety, has been a real hit. We've done two iterations of that in partnership with the EDA and the Film Commission. And then we've started a series of filming top business executives in New Jersey, and we think those videos play well. If we look at other big state economies and how they do, how they handle business attraction, one of the lessons learned for us was we need more of our top CEOs saying why they choose and continue to choose and expand in New Jersey. So we're working on a series of those. A couple of those are already up on our website. If you haven't been to our website, it's choosenj.com. We retool that, again, with the support of our partners here in this room last year, and and we're adding to it every month. So it's a really good, for prospective businesses, it's a great resource, and it'll get even greater in the coming months. Next slide, please. Two more slides and I'm done. Again, I mentioned this earlier, but allowing us to compete on a global stage. So the United States has 50 states. Every state is waving their flag around the world. New Jersey's finally waving our flag over the last 7 years. We have significant wins from our work overseas, and a lot of that is due, frankly, to the work that the EDA supports us with and due to the vision of Governor Murphy and his team in the front office. A couple things on this slide that are really important. Trade shows, I put photos from at least two of them up there. One is Bio International, which for us, I think almost a fifth or over a fifth of our life science sector leads come from that conference, at least for last year. It's a big lead generator for us, and having Team New Jersey out there choose the EDA, BioNJ, and a bunch of our partners and higher ed institutions with us pays off in spades. Select USA, this was started under President Obama. It's a federal initiative. It's a conference or a trade show that's run in Maryland every summer, and it brings all 50 states have booths marketing themselves as an ideal investment destination. We have a really good story to tell, especially amongst our peers or in competition with our peers. And so having foreign delegations, because you have U.S. ambassadors all around the world leading prospective businesses that are actively interested in investing in the United States, come to this conference. So you get 3 days together and you're meeting delegates from all around the world, pitching them on why New Jersey. And we've had the EDA with us hand in hand every year that we've been at that conference. And it's been very successful for us. Just last year, we got two wins from Select USA. Next slide. And this is my last one, but another piece of the puzzle is having these governor-led economic missions abroad. If they're done right, they are extremely productive and highly informative to our host countries that we travel to. Under Governor Murphy, we've done seven official missions, visited 10 countries. All of these come back. You know, there's months of preparation that lead up to this. Tim's team is currently working on one that we have upcoming next month. It will be announced, I think, by the governor later today.
While you're talking.
That's right. But these, again, allow us to wave our flag, having the governor at the table leading discussions with prospective businesses in countries around the world on why they should choose New Jersey. And everybody here knows the governor fairly well. He is probably the best salesman the state has. So having Tim and myself and other partners in state government, as well as business leaders, higher ed leaders, around the table with him to bolster that presence and to speak to that value proposition really is unthreatened. There's a lot we can do on Zoom. There's some things that just mean more in person. And having the governor lead these missions is probably the best bang for your buck that you could get, advertising the state to the world. Out of those economic missions, there are several things I think Tim has signed a few MOUs. I remember in East Asia, the EDA signed a couple of these. Basically, partnerships that undergird, whether they're sister state agreements, economic ministry, the economic ministry initiatives, higher ed MOUs, or business wins. For us, some of these, for some countries, they're foundational agreements to begin the relationship with. So we've started to do that. We did this, again, back in the 80s and 90s. We have several sister state agreements around the world that were started then. And so we've taken those kind of out of the dustbin or out of the closet and said, how can we build on top of that? And so those for us and these missions for us are really valuable. I would just say in closing, again, thank you for supporting us in our effort. We are one team. CHOOSE has one small component of it. Everything that Bill Noonan, our Chief Business Development Officer, was here, he'd say everything he talks about is really an EDA product. We talk about our value proposition, but at the very end of the day, to close the math, you often need tools that are in toolkit housed here. And we are just so thankful for that partnership and for allowing us to work together. So thank you again.
Emma's going to, in a few minutes, present a correlated item related to that, but before Wes walks off, I'll still go into the conference. Any questions for Wes?
I have a quick question. What is, how is prospect defined?
Yeah, so we have leads, opportunities, and then wins. So there's a multi-step process that brings a company from a, you have a couple interactions with them, and they seem interested, they download something, it turns into a lead. We start recommending sites and talking about incentives. If we go down a few more steps of that road, they become an opportunity. And when they finally choose New Jersey, we celebrate that, and it's a win.
Great. That also concludes my CEO report. If you have questions for me about anything I'm blathered on about, happy to answer those as well. But if not, I will yield the floor back to you.
Great. Thank you. So I'm going to move to the public comment section of the meeting now. I will now open the public comment portion. First, I'm going to ask Daniel Esser to share NJEA's public comment policy and process for this board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period, they will be acknowledged first to speak in person, then by Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comments. Each person will be acknowledged to speak one at a time in order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted and may remove someone from the meeting if they are disruptive. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to speak and provide comment based on the order received. I'll now share the NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. And a person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak. Related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. I'll now acknowledge first members of the public who wish to provide comment who are here in person. Okay. Seeing none. We're now going to go to anyone on Teams who has their hands raised. Danielle, do we have any?
Anyone on Teams, please raise your hands if you're interested in providing comment or unmute yourself at this time. Chairman, I'm not seeing anyone on Teams comment.
All right, thank you, Danielle. Now, operator, could you open up the line to anyone on the telephone who may have a comment?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press star then one at this time. One moment to see if we have questions. And I am showing none.
Okay, thank you, operator. I will now end the public comment section of the meeting. Moving on with our items to approve today, as we do at every board meeting, we give a quick summary of the committees that met between the board meetings. It's been a very busy February for us as we had a late board meeting and many committee meetings. So I'm going to give a quick report on the audit and policy committees. The NJEDA Audit Committee met on February 28th and was provided with regular updates and reports. The NJEDA Policy Committee met on March 3rd and considered several items which are being presented today for action. Highlights include three items under the workforce programs, including the New Jersey Filmworks Grant Program, a new product, and MOUs with higher education institutions for film industry strategic support initiatives. Under innovation, a recommendation to approve the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant, which I talked about in my opening remarks, also a new product. Under venture, staff presented a recommendation for the fourth qualified investment approval under the NJ Innovation Evergreen Fund, which is pretty exciting. And lastly, under community development, staff presented a recommendation to utilize additional appropriated funding to support the small business e-commerce support program. And we'll hear on each of these items today. So moving on with the agenda. Under economic transformation, Luke Brunskill present three programs.
Thanks, Mr. Rostrom. I just want to note that we talk about this a lot, particularly with regard to a couple of these MOUs. We give good feedback from the committee on every item we present, but in particular, there were a few specific follow-up requests to tighten up a couple of things, make a couple of changes, which is exactly what the committee process is supposed to do and how it works.
Yeah.
You'll hopefully like those changes.
Morning.
Right. Thank you, Chairman O'Toole, members of the board. So I have these three items you see before you, so I'll just get right to them with the slides. As you are aware, the last several years has seen the growth of the film and digital media industry in New Jersey, due in large part to the state's tax incentives and other initiatives. This growth has created labor market demand for skilled industry professionals, which presents New Jersey with an opportunity to foster, strengthen, and diversify the state's film and digital media talent pipeline and provide residents with access to thriving and sustaining careers. To gather insight on labor market demand, the authority released a request for information, which helped identify industry-specific needs related to workforce development and inform the authority's approach to supporting and growing the state's talent pipeline for the industry. To meet the industry's workforce needs, we have developed three initiatives, which you have for you. The initiatives include one pilot grant program and two memorandums of understanding, all of which are related to workforce development in the industry. All three items will be funded through the fiscal year 2023 state budget appropriation for grants and aid designated for the Film Industry Strategic Support Fund. First to be presented is the New Jersey Filmworks Grant Program. Members are asked to approve the creation of New Jersey Filmworks, a competitive program that will award grants to selected applicants that will aid in implementing innovative workforce development, training, and skills programs focused on strengthening and diversifying New Jersey's film and digital media talent pipeline. Members are also asked to approve utilization of a total of $3 million from the fiscal year 2023 state appropriation for the Film Industry Strategic Support Fund. Finally, members are asked to approve the waiver of the application fee for the grant program. As a competitive program, applicant proposals will be evaluated on five criteria, which are impactful program design and implementation approach, ability to serve New Jersey's overburdened communities, ability to provide wraparound services and low or no-cost training, ability to implement proposed program and prior experience creating and implementing workforce development initiatives, and finally, justification for the proposed use of funds with a reasonable budget. Grantees must deliver effective occupational training for entry-level positions in the industry, as well as placement into paid positions for a diverse group of participants. Applicants may request a grant amount between $250,000 and $750,000. Funding disbursements will be tied to the following three milestones. Number one, execution of a grant agreement between NJEDA and the selected applicant. Number two, applicant submission and EDA's approval of a mid-program report demonstrating progress against the implementation plan and associated materials. Number three, receipt of a final report no more than 120 days after the end of the term of the grant. This final payment will be prorated based on enrollment, program completion, and job placement outcomes. Awardees must also submit quarterly reports to NJEDA detailing the use of funds, progress against the implementation plan, and program outcomes. Eligible uses of funding will include costs associated with planning, soft launch, implementation, and/or administrative and overhead costs. We are anticipating applications from a broad range of applicants and expect to make multiple awards. We will return to the board for approval of awards and discretionary declinations. There will be no application fee for this grant, as the funding source includes administrative costs for the authority. The program is expected to launch and be open for applications this spring. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to answer any questions about New Jersey Filmworks.
Just to begin, the funding for this is a state appropriation?
That's correct.
And what type of applicants, just describe the type of applicants you expect.
When we released the RFI, we got a pretty broad range of applicants from labor unions, educational institutions, private workforce development companies that specialize in workforce development in the film industry, some nonprofits. We're also interested that, you know, have a hand in that arena. So it's, I think we're keeping it rather broad in the eligibility to see what we get, because we did see a broad range of responses.
Luke, one, I'm very excited about the program. I appreciate inserting the language about working with prompt labor on an eligible training provider list. It's not a mandate. I'm only worried about community college programs that aren't on the ETPL. I don't want to keep them from participating.
The language we're using is requiring engagement with them. So I understand the ETPL, it can be a challenge for some organizations to get on, but that is, we are expecting them to engage with them.
Yeah. Any other comments, questions? Anyone on the phone? Charles?
Yeah, sure. So under the additional specifications, first bullet, not exclusive or revocable license, royalty-free to use copyright material. I think that's very focused. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
I noticed that. It's great. I don't think we've ever used it before, unless, you know, you could tell me otherwise, but I think we should, state money, grant money, we should look to insert that as applicable going forward in other program programs.
Anyone on the phone? Board members? Hearing no further. Go ahead.
This is Marcia. I just wanted to recuse myself from Montclair State University. I just wanted to say, because I received major funding for several programs, and they're my major partner for one.
Okay, noted. That's the next item to vote on, I believe.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to
say. Okay. Any other comments on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Fred Dumont will make the motion.
Thank you, Fred. Second?
Second, Charles.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Recusal.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Any others?
In hearing none, the motion is approved.
All right, Luke.
Montclair State.
For the second initiative in the film and digital media industry workforce portfolio, members are asked to approve a memorandum of understanding between NJEDA and Montclair State University that will enable NJEDA to provide $1 million in partial construction funding to Montclair State University for the Making Innovations for X, or MIX, lab, which will include proprietary technology, a 26-seat immersive classroom, and virtual reality pod that will be housed on MSU's Montclair campus. Members are also asked to approve delegated authority to the CEO to extend the MOU by up to 12 months if needed. Dreamscape Learn originated as a partnership between Arizona State University and the virtual reality company Dreamscape Immersive,
and they now partner with educators to develop virtual reality-enabled courseware and deploy immersive learning platforms at educational institutions. Montclair State will combine their existing curriculums with Dreamscape Learn to create virtual reality learning experiences for their students. The Mixed Lab is the centerpiece of MSU's plan to develop a state-of-the-art Dreamscape Learn facility and curriculum on their campus and will serve as a strong draw for top students seeking advanced instruction in game design and virtual reality development. The MOU will provide a portion of the construction budget, with MSU providing the majority balance of funds. In addition to providing opportunities for MSU students, Dreamscape Learn will create opportunities for continuing education certifications, non-matriculated educational programs, and career exploration for middle and high school students in overburdened communities and other communities in the region, including Newark and Patterson. Montclair State plans for the lab to open to serve students in July 2026. Thank you for your time, and again, I will answer any questions now about MSU's Dreamscape Learn.
10 seconds of color commentary. We've done lots of things with lots of different higher education institutions. My strategy from the governor, deepening ties between higher ed and the real economy. I think this is the chunkiest thing we've done with Montclair. We've done lots of things with lots of organizations, so it's good to sort of completely filled out the roster of all of our great state 4 years and 2 year colleges that we've worked with, but this is coloring in another light bulb on the bedstream.
And if I read this right, Montclair State is actually contributing almost $4 million to this, right? So it's a significant contribution from them. Total cost of construction.
We are only funding the $1 million. The total, I would have to look in the notes if they provided that.
Looks like it's about $4.5 million,
right?
$5.5 million.
Oh, and so yeah, total we're contributing to the to that target.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Anyone on the phone? Voting recusal. Okay, hearing none. Can I hear a motion to approve?
Move, Angelo.
Thank you. Second. We'll give that to Elizabeth. How's that? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions other than Marcia? Okay, Marcia, we're noted on you. The motion is approved. Okay, and then Brookdale.
Thank you. For the third and final initiative, members will be asked to approve a memorandum of understanding between the NJEDA and Brookdale Community College that will enable NJEDA to provide $1 million in funding to Brookdale for support of the New Jersey Film Academy. Members are again asked to approve delegated authority to the CEO to extend the MOU by up to 12 months if needed. The New Jersey Film Academy, incubated at Brookdale Community College, will provide hands-on training, internship and job placement, and career pathways for entry-level positions in the film and digital media industry and act as a hub for the community college system. The Academy will provide opportunities to students, adult learners, diverse underserved populations, and incumbent workers with the necessary training to pursue industry careers, secure competitive wages, and ensure employers have access to a skilled workforce. The Academy will initially offer several curriculum tracks, beginning with 1, on-set production, 2, production, office, and accounting, and 3, hair, makeup, and wardrobe. Participants will be able to earn an industry-recognized credential in as little as 12 weeks in these specialty areas. Classes have already begun at Brookdale Community College, and the Academy will partner with the state's other community colleges. 7 community colleges have completed their partnership agreements and now have access to the curriculum supplied through the Academy. The proposed funding will be dedicated to the salaries of key personnel, hardware and software critical for coursework, and tuition assistance for students in need and dispersed on a milestone basis. Brookdale will be expected to provide a minimum of 50 students with tuition assistance through the authority's dedicated funding for scholarships, and a minimum of 100 students will be expected to complete a certification program in the Academy's first year of operation. Brookdale must submit quarterly reports to NJEDA detailing progress to date as well as student outcomes. which will include the number of students enrolled in New Jersey Film Academy-related courses, number of student completers, number and type of credentials awarded, internship and job placement rate, and the number and amounts of scholarships awarded. Thank you again, and I'm happy to answer questions about the New Jersey Film Academy.
I think this was the one where we had some discussion on committee, during committee, and I believe the request was focused on sort of outcomes and reporting, which you've now incorporated.
That's right.
At least one other question is, since some of this money will be going to salaries, what happens in year two? In other words, this, you know, it's a $1 million grant now. Once that's spent, what do we expect to happen?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. My name is David Ramsey, Director of Workforce Innovation Partnerships at EDA, and I work closely with Luke, New Jersey Film Academy. So the Film Academy has a sustainability plan, and community college are also contributing to the effort. So in year two, we expect that they'll be able to fund those salaries going forward. The money that we're providing is essentially scale of funding to get them through the first year or two of operations, and they should be able to sustain themselves after.
Yeah. We do not. This is not an annual appropriation.
Right. There's no expectation that we're gonna.
Shouldn't be. maybe can't speak to people's expectations, but there should.
Okay. Anyone else? Questions? Comments?
Another quick editorial here. You've heard three items in a row that are all sort of in the same thematic. That's what I'm about. Obviously, we've got a booming film and TV industry. Not quite a brand new industry, but certainly at the scale at which we're operating today, and certainly into the future. And so you're seeing a lot of different options being put on the table in terms of how to think about workforce development. Some of that's going to be a community college model. Some of that's going to be four-year higher ed model. Some of that's going to be labor unions. Some of that's going to be nonprofits. Taylor, we're not sure which of these is going to be the most effective, which one's going to work best. And this is a bit of a, you know, run a few pilots, but, you know, sizable programs at the same time and just kind of see what works and see what sticks. And candidly, borrowing from the Wind Institute playbook of similar, like, lots of different things need to be approached, lots of different approaches need to be thought about. And we've thought about lots of different sort of ways and different pathways, if you will, that's your favorite program. Pathways to careers in film and TV.
Great. Anyone on the phone, comments, or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Motion, Cruz.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Fred Zuma.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Robert noted. His personal relationship. All right. Noted. Any other recusables? Okay. Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Glass of water.
Yeah. All right, now our next item is the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant Program.
Today I'm here to request members to approve the creation of the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant Program, which is a competitive program where NJEDA will award a single grant of $3.8 million to qualified administrators. The administrator will be responsible for developing and administering an AI innovation challenge open to the public in New Jersey and dispersing and managing sub-grant awards to winning companies selected as part of the AI challenge over a one-year period. Members are also requested to approve capitalization of the grant program using $4 million in funding received by NJEDA for the AI Innovation Challenge as a fiscal year 2025 state budget appropriation, and utilization by the authority of 5% or $200,000 of the $4 million as an administrative fee to cover the cost of operating the grant program. Now, going into the AI Innovation Challenge that the selected administrator will deliver, this initiative is part of the governor's AI Moonshot, which was introduced in January 2024. The goal of the AI challenge is to bring together New Jersey's public, including startups and researchers, to develop AI-based software solutions. The AI challenge will be conducted in a time-constrained environment, encouraging rapid prototyping and iteration. The end result of the AI challenge is to advance the most viable AI-based software solutions towards pilot demonstration or commercialization. As NJEDA will be selecting an administrator via a competitive process, once scoring is complete, NJEDA will recommend one administrator for board approval. The selected administrator will be awarded a $3.8 million grant on a milestone basis. Of the $3.8 million, the administrator can use up to 12% or $456,000 for administrative costs, with a remaining balance of $3,344,000 for subgrant awards to AI Challenge. There will be a $1,000 application fee for administrator applicants to the grant program. Administrators must use NJEDA's grant award to support direct and indirect costs associated with administering the AI Challenge and subgrant awards. During the course of the AI Challenge, winning companies will receive subgrant awards along with mentorship and advisory support from the administrator's network of subject matter experts and partners. The scope of the AI Challenge is to engage New Jersey's public to identify challenges across the state and develop AI-based software solutions that ensure social and public good, including but not limited to the improvement of government services. One of the key components for the AI Challenge is state data. Data sets from the Office of Information Technology's Open Data Portal will be the primary data source for participants to develop their AI-based software solutions. In terms of the eligibility criteria for administrator applicants, as outlined in our board memo, it will be used to screen for the administrator's relevant prior and current expertise. And we will be using a scoring matrix to evaluate their proposals on how they will execute the AI challenge and manage subgrant awards. In addition to the administrator's scoring criteria for AI challenge winners, NJEDA has outlined certain requirements to ensure compliance with New Jersey business requirements and successful milestone completion, which are outlined in our board memo. Finally, NJEDA's grant to the selected administrator will be dispersed in three milestones. The first is upon grant execution for the administrator's admin costs. The second is after the administrator selects AI Challenge winners and shares the results with NJEDA. These funds are for subgrant awards to the winners. The third milestone is after the demo day event, and these funds will be dispersed for subgrant awards towards further development of the office. And that concludes my presentation. I welcome any
questions. Just to be clear, funding for this is state budget in fiscal 2025 budget.
Yes.
And we are selecting an administrator
mm-hmm.
who will then run the program.
Exactly.
What type of company would that administrator be? Who kind of organization?
So we were looking at entities that have the experience in organizing large-scale competitive events, as well as nurturing startups. So some of these could look like accelerators, university groups, and then also groups that specifically focus on competitive events and innovation challenges.
You mentioned using state data from OIT. Can you talk a little more about that and why these winners would have access to that data?
So this data portal is currently publicly available.
Okay.
It's data.nj.gov, and participants will be using that as their primary data source.
And again, what we're focused on is people solving problems in New Jersey using data that comes from the portal.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That's not in the portal. Maybe a grantee can have some kind of MOU or something with an agency to some non-public data that would also be helpful.
The third milestone payment, again, you have anywhere from 5 to 10 participants or winners, max $1 million, right?
That's the second.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Second milestone, okay.
Yes.
What was the third milestone?
So the third one would be after the demo day event, and that is for further pilot demonstration and commercialization. So the administrator will continue for our grant agreement term.
So they could get a grant award for making the, you know, one of 10 companies, and then get a second to pursue further development of the product.
Exactly. So the amounts would be staggered with the first towards prototypes and then the second for MVP and beyond.
The And the $3.8 million is both paying the administrator and providing the grants.
Exactly.
NDP minimum viable product.
Another manufacturing voucher program, or most viable players.
Any other questions, comments? Innovative program. Anyone on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Thank you, Elizabeth. Second? Antoine? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. We're going to have a slight shift in agenda and authority matters. Emma, on our approval award to Choose NJ.
Thank you. All right. The members of the board are asked to approve an additional $6.8 million of funding to the authority's current business attraction marketing contract, which is awarded to Choose New Jersey in June of 2023. These additional funds aim to enhance Choose New Jersey's ongoing contract, enabling the development and execution of comprehensive marketing campaigns and business development initiatives. As background, in New Jersey's fiscal year 2023 Appropriations Act, which was signed into law by Governor Murphy in June of 2022, the EDA was appropriated $15 million for business attraction and marketing initiatives. To best utilize this funding, the authority issued an RFP to enter into contract with a 501c3 nonprofit organization to develop and implement marketing and business development efforts that highlight the benefits of doing business in New Jersey and encourage domestic and international companies to relocate to and expand within the state. The contract is valued at $14.5 million across 3 years, with the authority retaining a 3% fee for contract administration. The authority issued the RFP on March 27th, 2023, and the EDA received one applicant, Choose New Jersey, which was awarded the contract by a board approval in that June. Since being awarded the contract, Choose has worked extensively to promote the state as a premier destination through high-impact marketing campaigns, global business development initiatives, and participation in high-profile industry events, both domestically and abroad. This has been accomplished across the following. A significant portion of the contract's funding has been dedicated to marketing campaigns that elevate New Jersey's reputation as a top location to live, work, and raise a family. Through digital, print, and out-of-home advertising, Choose New Jersey has launched campaigns across the state and in major business hubs, such as New York, California, London, Germany, Japan, Korea, and India, that focus on promoting New Jersey's strengths of technology, life sciences, fintech, and advanced manufacturing. Most notably, this includes Choose New Jersey's This is New Jersey campaign, which promotes the state's thriving industries, top-ranked educational institutions, exceptional talent pool, and diverse cultural landscape, a campaign that received over 4.3 billion global impressions in 1 year. It also includes Choose New Jersey's artificial intelligence campaign, promoting New Jersey as the next home for AI, by targeting C-suite leaders and key decision makers in tech and life sciences in Tier 1 and Tier 2 markets. Additionally, Choose New Jersey has also invested in branding efforts within the film and entertainment industry by placing advertisements in major trade publications such as Variety and The Hollywood Reporter, including the creation of a specialty Variety paid partner content booklet on New Jersey's film industry, which you folks all have at your seat, as well as New Jersey dailies for global film festivals, including Cannes, Tribeca, and Berlin. Choose has also cultivated strategic marketing partnerships with the Philadelphia 76ers, New York Jets, New Jersey Devils, New York Red Bulls to enhance national and regional visibility through in-arena advertising, digital activations, and social media collaboration. In addition to partnering with major sports teams that have a New Jersey presence, Choose launched a name, image, and likeness, NIL campaign in partnership with Rutgers University, highlighting the prominence and influence of Rutgers University football and basketball players to showcase a state's strong economy, quality of life, vibrant communities, demographic diversity, and plethora of businesses, both big and small. Beyond marketing, Choose has expanded its global presence by increasing the number of Choose New Jersey branded offices worldwide. These offices function as in-country extensions of the organization, providing direct outreach to potential investors and generating business leads. Since the contract's launch, new offices have been established in East Asia and the U.S. West Coast, while existing offices in Europe and India have been expanded. Approximately 28% of business leads now stem from direct outreach through these international locations. Finally, Choose has also actively participated in major business conferences and investment summits to further position New Jersey as a prime location for corporate expansion. Key engagements include, as Wes mentioned, Bio International, Select USA, the International Partnering Forum, TechCrunch, and the North Cap. In order to continue the momentum and the impact made by Choose New Jersey to date,
Authority staff is requesting approval for the allocation of additional $6.8 million into their current contract, therefore increasing the total award to $21.3 million. Specifically, the funds requested for transfer were provided to the Authority as part of the Fiscal Year 2024 Appropriations Act, where the Authority was appropriated an additional $10 million for business attraction and marketing initiatives, and as part of the Fiscal Year 2025 Appropriations Act, where the Authority was appropriated $19 million for events and marketing initiatives. If approved, Choose New Jersey aims to use the additional funds to focus on targeting marketing efforts, specifically campaigns focused on highlighting the strength of New Jersey's economy and New Jersey's values. Further funding would also allow Choose New Jersey to expand its international business recruitment efforts, particularly within high-growth sectors such as AI, clean energy, life sciences, as well as film and digital media, while also scaling up development initiatives in emerging markets, including the Middle East and Latin America. With that, I will open it to any questions.
Again, source of funds, state appropriation.
State appropriation.
And we have marketing dollars still remaining after this?
Yes.
If you go to the, I didn't highlight this in the pleasure review, some of those are now earmarked to be heading back to the Treasury.
Okay. Questions?
Transport, sounds good. Makes sense to me. Yeah. Funding, so all good.
Contracts are with Choose New Jersey.
Here is as of June 2023. So we are not extending the term of that contract, just
anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Second. Thank you, Elizabeth. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you, Emma.
Yes, you're welcome to stay with you, Matt.
Thank you.
You can clap for this.
You're welcome.
Next, we're going to Venture, the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund Qualified Investment Approval on Mason Materials. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. We're going to start with a quick refresh of what the program is about and where we are at the moment with the success of the program. So, as a reminder, the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Program is a co-investment platform where the authority invests in New Jersey businesses that present a potential for high growth alongside our venture partners. We invest under the same terms as they do. The program started in 2022 with a tax credit option, so we fund the program with sales of tax credit options. The first one was in 2022 for $50 million. As of today, we have forum partnerships with 18 venture firms. At the beginning, those firms were approved by the board. Currently, they're being approved under delegated authority since April of last year. And at the moment, we have three approved qualified investments. They're on the slides. We have invested initially $500,000 in one fundo, and then the board approved two additional follow-on investments. We have a $3 million investment in Medico and a $400,000 investment in Recover. I'm here today to present the fourth investment. In terms of our capital accounts, we started with $46 million to be disclosed.
Pretty sure.
Right. We have reserve capital for loan investments. We have some reserve capital for programming and administrative expenses. And we currently have $33.4 million uncommitted capital.
And again, just to be, I know we talked about this, the source of the capital is tax credit options.
Correct. Right?
We've done one option so far. By statute, until that 33 turns into 15, we cannot do another option.
Okay.
So if there are no questions on the program, I can maybe move on to the investment presentation. So the program investment recommended for funding today is an application by SOSV Investments for $750,000 investment into the Series C preferred stock financing round of Nathan Materials, an innovative deep-tech New Jersey-based cathode manufacturer. Staff will reserve an additional $335,000 for related management fees and direct administrative expenses, and an additional $800 million for whole loan equity investment. SOSV was approved as a program qualified venture fund by the board in March 2024. It's a global investment fund that is headquartered in Princeton. The fund seeks to invest in companies operating in biotechnology, car tech, and emerging and frontier markets cross-border technology. SOSV has cooperated with the authority across a number of programs and initiatives. The New York-based HardTech Accelerator HACS was created in 2021 in partnership with the ETA. HACS is also approved for support under the New Jersey Accelerate program, and SOSV has been a frequent participant in authorities' founders. Nathan Materials is a technology innovator in the lithium iron phosphate and lithium manganese iron phosphate market. The company leverages innovative manufacturing processes and deep supply chain expertise to develop cost-effective cathode active materials for lithium-ion batteries that are ultimately used in electric vehicles, battery energy storage systems, data centers, and telecom towers. The company was formed in 2024 and is currently working out of the HACS accelerator. Nathan Materials will generate revenue through direct sales of cathodes to battery manufacturers and licensing of proprietary technologies to JV partners. Nathan Materials is led by CEO Chaitanya Sharma, who has an extensive background in factory operations and battery production. Mr. Sharma has also identified two plant hires with technical background in material sciences to join the team following the capital raise. EGA's investment will be part of a $3 million seed round that Nathan Materials will use to advance its proprietary technology, scale pilot production, and secure early customer validation through joint ventures and offtake agreements. I would like to reiterate our recommendation for approval of this investment, and I'm happy to answer questions.
So this is exciting on a standalone basis in its own right. It's also just from us. Toolkit coming together in this sort of gusher, hopefully, new startups that are going to scale and grow in Jersey. HACS 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, was approved by this board with the idea that it was going to generate new startups in hard tech and clean tech in Newark. And here we are, and to Charles' point earlier about upside, and not just a grant, it's not a grant at all, it's an equity investment. And if they do really well, we'll do really well too. It's worth noting they could do poorly, and this would be the same effect as doing a grant. Which is to say it's out the door. So it's huge, huge. Kathleen's wildest dreams back to the early days when I first met her about what we could be doing around innovation. Governor's support. All happening, as I say. Not perfectly, not without exception, but you know, it's all happening.
Any comments, questions? Anyone on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Robert Chipfield.
Thank you, Robert. Second.
Thank you, Rob.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Clean energy, Sean.
Morning, everyone. Here today to present a memo requesting the board approve the execution of an MOU with New Jersey Green Bank. This MOU would allow the transfer of $50 million of regional greenhouse gas initiative funding, otherwise known as REGI funds, from the EDA to the Green Bank. As a reminder, REGI is a multi-state market-based program that establishes a regional cap on carbon dioxide emissions from the electric power generation sector. The auctioning of those emission rights is traditionally referred to as a cap-and-trade or cap-and-invest program. A portion of those auction proceeds are made available directly to the EDA to support clean energy-related investments and projects in the state. The use of REGI dollars by the EDA is governed in part by a three-year strategic funding plan that outlines how these REGI funds should be utilized and prioritized by state government agencies. Previously, in September of last year, the board approved the transfer of $50 million in REGI funding from the EDA to the Green Bank that was under the 2020 to 2022 strategic funding plan. That plan had exclusively directed the EDA to use REGI dollars to fund and capitalize the creation of a new statewide Green Bank, which now is in existence, nearing its one-year anniversary mark. The MOU before you today is regarding additional REGI funding that is available under the 2023 to 2025 strategic funding plan. If approved, the Green Bank would deploy these $50 million covered under this MOU with various financial products, focusing specifically with these dollars on supporting projects and investments related to building decarbonization, energy efficiency, and overall reduction of emissions from the state's building sector. This is in alignment with Initiative 1 outlined in the 23 to 25 strategic funding plan. The Green Bank will be solely responsible for administering $50 million and will report back to EDA on a quarterly basis on the status and uses of this funding. In sum, this MOU and subsequent transfer of funding to the Green Bank will assist the authority in meeting its own obligations under the 23 to 25 strategic funding plan, while also furthering powering the Green Bank to grow the state's clean energy economy and help New Jersey meet its climate goals. Happy to answer any questions.
If you were following the governor's budget speech closely, any of us were, you heard a shout out to REGI and the sort of non, these are not taxpayer, these are not ratepayer dollars, these are taxpayer dollars, federal or local, these are private sector dollars investing in green energy. The DEP do a great job overseeing the overall umbrella of REGI and DEP, EDA, and BPU on the best of money. Exciting.
Thanks, Chair. So the $50 million allocations, 2023 to 2025. So is this forecasted for 2025, or did the REGI auction already take place? What's the timing?
The dollars already available to the EDA.
That auction's on course.
One auction, actually, I think is occurring today.
And the 23 to 25 framework matters because we do this on a three-year strategic plan basis. 23 to 25 were those 3 years of that strategic plan, how that money would be spent. I think, Elizabeth, your colleagues are overseeing a refresh of the 26 to 28.
It's also the REGI money is ZIP, NJZIP, NJE.
ZIP, NJE. ZEV. Anything I missed? More to come. The acronym department is full employment act, the acronym department.
And untethered to the federal
government. Any other questions, comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Probably
saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Done. Next, recommendation for additional funding for the Small Business E-Commerce Support Program.
Good morning. Staff is requesting $6 million from the Main Street Recovery Finance Program to continue to fund the Small Business E-Commerce Support Program. This pilot product launched in February 2023 through an RFP, allowing NJEDA to select qualified professionals to deliver e-commerce and digital marketing services to small businesses in the retail, restaurant, and personal care industries. This product has allowed small businesses to adapt to changing market conditions, meet customer demand, and remain competitive through investing in digitization, including website creation, the addition or improvement of online ordering, appointment booking, and marketing plans. We have approved over 500 projects, totaling approximately $4 million. Per our customer satisfaction survey, 88% of businesses reported that they are satisfied or very satisfied with the program. 85% believe it will help their business succeed, and 91% would recommend this program to other business owners. Next slide. To be eligible for the Small Business E-Commerce Support Program, applicants must be in the restaurant, retail, or personal care industries. be in a commercial location in New Jersey, meet the SBA definition of a small business, and be able to provide a current tax clearance certificate. Only one project per EIN is allowed for this product. For the RFP, the maximum amount per project per business type range from $10,800 to $11,400. All services are tailored to each client's individual need. These are the maximum amounts for each project, but the actual amounts do vary. Next slide, please. Finally, success stories. What you see here are all quotes from our satisfaction surveys, not testimonials that we requested, and all were featured on NJEDA's social media. Here is a bakery in Summit, Just Jersey Goods in Morristown, a salon in Wrightstown, and a natural healer in Hackettstown, saying things like, I have been wanting a website since 2021, and now I have one. The cost of a website is a financial burden, and this program made it possible. I have paid a lot of money in the past for similar services and received much less. And finally, the Just Jersey Goods website won Best E-Commerce Website at the 2023 New Jersey Advertising Awards. Thank you for your time and consideration. Happy to take questions.
Any questions? Anyone on the phone, questions, comments? This would be pending contracts until the end of 2027.
Mm-hmm. This is possible.
Hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Second?
Move to Elijah. Elijah.
Thanks, Phil. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Maggie. All right, and we're going to move. I think I've covered all of the items here. We're going to move to the Incentives Committee matters. And we'll give a report of the Incentives Committee, which met on February 26th, and consider several items which are being presented for action today. Staff presented a request to approve the creation of a new tax credit incentive program called Next NJAI and through related program rules. Staff also presented two recommendations for approval under the Aspire program, one recommendation for approval under the Emerge program. Staff will present on each of these items today. First up is Mercedes on the Next New Jersey program.
Good morning. It's being colleagues, and special thank you to everyone that's gotten me here at this point. My name is Mercedes White, and I'm an analyst with the Manufacturing Incentive and Tax Credit team. I also have the privilege of serving as the product owner for the Next New Jersey program for AI. With that, I now ask the board to approve the Next New Jersey for AI. The attached special adoption of the new rules and concurrent proposed new rules for the Next New Jersey program for AI, and to authorize staff to submit the special adoption for the new rules and concurrent proposed new rules to the Office of Administrative Law for publication in the New Jersey Register, and submit the rules as final adopted rules to the Office of Administrative Law for publication in the New Jersey Register if no formal comments are subject to final review and approval by the Office of the Attorney General and the Office of Administrative Law, and the creation of the Next New Jersey Program for AI, a tax credit incentive program signed into law on July 25, 2024, which is designed to attract and support the artificial intelligence industry and AI-related businesses. And last, delegation of the authority to the Chief Executive Officer to approve administrative changes to approve Next New Jersey AI Pro as it currently exists for the New Jersey Economic Recovery Act of 2020 programs and for the newly approved CAFE program. Next slide, please. The Next New Jersey program was signed into law July 25, 2024, with the goal of promoting the development of AI technology and supporting AI-related businesses. Next New Jersey AI leverages $500 million from Emerge and Aspire funds. The goal of the Next New Jersey program is to foster innovation and drive economic growth across New Jersey by by leveraging emerging technologies like AI. It aims to support businesses, startups, research institutions, and companies developing cutting-edge solutions that address key industry challenges. By encouraging collaboration and investment, the program seeks to make New Jersey a leading AI hub and position the state as a key player in the AI-driven economy. Key requirements for eligibility. A minimum capital investment of $100 million, followed by the creation of a minimum of 100 new full-time jobs, each offering salaries that are at least 120% of the county median. Additionally, when calculating the number of new full-time jobs, positions within affiliated businesses will also count. However, a position is only considered a new full-time job if it is in addition to the full-time workforce in the business's statewide operations. Jobs do not have to be assigned to the QDS, but jobs must support AI-related functions. A core component of this program is the collaboration requirement. To encourage innovation and strengthen New Jersey's AI ecosystem, businesses applying for tax credits must collaborate with one of the following entities: a New Jersey-based public or private research university, a New Jersey-based technology startup, or a New Jersey-based incubator, accelerator, or similar entity. The collaboration can take various forms, such as offering AI support services, providing price concessions, or taking other actions that further AI growth and innovation. The businesses must demonstrate that the net cost of the collaboration is at least 10% of the total awarded tax credit. Tax credit. The awards are calculated based on the lesser of the following: 0.1% of the business's total capital investment, multiplied by the number of new full-time jobs, or 25% of the total capital investment, and lastly, $250 million, which represents the maximum award. The tax credits awarded are transferable and can be applied to the corporate business tax and insurance premium tax. Approved projects are granted 3 years with up to 2 6-month extensions to certify the number of jobs as well as capital investment. These tax credits are issued annually for the first 5 years. To ensure the program's integrity, businesses must uphold their commitments to job creation and capital investment throughout the agreement term of 10 years. Failure to meet these requirements could result in reduction and recapture of tax credits. Fee structure. To establish a sustainable and efficient program, the authority conducted a thorough internal review in collaboration with our CFO and his team. The fee structure ensures the program remains financially viable and well-managed. In conclusion, we requested the board's approval for the next New Jersey program for AI. Thank you for your attention, and I now open the floor for questions.
Chairman, if I can just do it. Additional color. Great job, Mercedes. Thank you. You know, there are lots of states that have, for lack of a better word, data center programs that are essentially as of right sales tax abatements. So that's fine. That's how you want to approach it, but there's nothing particularly strategic about that, nor is there anything particularly jobs centric about that beyond the construction, which is important. But the permanent jobs are also an important part of this. So this, I think, tries to sort of strike that balance between we want certainly data center, AI data center, and investment, because it's incredibly important that there's a locational advantage to where these things exist, but also the partnership that's being created or contemplated by these agreements. One of the huge inhibiting factors for AI companies, AI startups, these are not going to be AI startups who approach this program, this is hundreds of millions of dollars of CapEx, but AI startups, the proverbial one or two people at a desk somewhere, one of the huge gating factors on their ability to grow and scale is access to computing power. There are startups that are signing up for like 3:15 to 4:15 in the morning slots at exorbitant rates because it's a very scarce commodity. And so the idea that there would be a preferential relationship with Jersey startups, Jersey higher ed, from these initiatives, plus the job creation that you would see probably off campus if someone built a data center. You're going to see some jobs at the data center, but more likely corporate R&D jobs at locations elsewhere in Jersey. We think you get a pretty strong bang for your buck in return on investment. So it's pretty exciting.
Again, this is a reallocation of tax credits from Aspire and Emerge to this program.
Reallocation for Aspire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the statute that the governor signed, I think even together we signed it.
At Corwin. And so these are big, meaty. I mean, it's a $100 million minimum investment. These are big projects.
Yeah, I think we never hesitate to speculate. You can't, 4 to 10 over the life of the program, not 40 to 100 over the life of the program. If it's a raging success, you can imagine the legislature authorizing. Above my pay grade.
Then you've got power and other issues to deal
there
with.
There are power and other issues that are attendant here, yes.
And again, it's a minimum of 100 jobs.
Correct. On or off campus. So 100 jobs at a data center, a pure play data center, that's a lot of maintenance. There'll be some. But mostly Jersey-based companies that want to invest in R&D and other activities in Jersey and do data. It's probably going to go.
And with a relationship with an educational institution, which is pretty interesting.
Yep. Yeah. I'm sure the fellow on the right is wearing a tuxedo in this illustration, but
it's New Jersey. Any
tuxedo T-shirt, but it's like one of the boardwalk prints. Like,
comments or questions? Anyone on the phone? Comments or questions? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
I do want motion.
Thanks, Fred. Second? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Good luck. Thank you. All right, next we're going to Emerge. First, we have Matthew giving us some overview.
Not Matthew, but I'm stepping in.
Appearing in the role of Matthew Abraham today. I haven't met this, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Chairman Sid, Mary, and members of the board. My name is Ivan Mendez, team lead for the manufacturing center, tax center team. Prior to Sandy presenting this, some pharmaceutical product. Project, I thought it was important to give the board an overview of what emerges. These projects are far and few between, the last one being just about a year ago to date. The Emerge program is a jobs-based tax incentive program designed to encourage businesses to relocate or expand to New Jersey, invest private capital, and create or retain a significant number of well-paying jobs when competing with another state. Some of the key features of the program is that it provides tax incentives based on the number of new or retained jobs. It encourages private investment infrastructure via capital investment requirement. The CapEx is based on the square footage and the size of the facilities that their companies are going to be occupying. The program is not an as-of-right program, which is important to mention, and companies must demonstrate that the tax credits are a material factor in their decision to create or retain jobs in New Jersey versus an out-of-state competing location. Projects must generate a net positive economic benefit to the state between 200 and 400%, and that's going to be dependent on where in New Jersey the company is going to be taking their project. In other words, for every dollar of tax incentives that we award a company, New Jersey has to get $2 to $4 back. The program does provide bonuses based on geographical location, facility bonuses, such as large capital investments and state and policy objectives. The program is a performance-based tax credit project. The tax credits are not earned up front. They are awarded only after the applicant completes the project, certifies to the new job creation and retention, and verifies the capital investment. The award is a 7-year term, and it comes with an 11-year commitment to the state. Happy to field any questions.
Why don't we do more of these just because we don't have people applying to the state?
It's a restrictive program by design, and it's just because we don't do a lot of them, this means we don't have a lot of interest. So we do have a ton of leads and companies that we do talk to on a daily basis.
This risk getting philosophical and vaguely political, and keep it philosophical. The theory of the case on Emerge that it should be every so often used tool for relocation, you can really make a difference in a company's decision, which is less often than some of the popular wisdom would suggest, and making sure that we are careful and thoughtful. This program was built, as I mentioned, with a fair bit of moating and gates and various other things around it to make sure it's only being used maximally strategic, including a very high net benefit test. In this case, it's 100% or something. It's a crazy number. Some of the predecessor programs you saw 101.01% net benefit. This is the hard. This that's a put pressure on this decision, but these initiatives, these kinds of approvals, are the very hardest and trickiest part of economic development because you're required to make an assessment of the likelihood that something would happen or not happen based on a specific intervention. So you want to insulate that decision and sort of hive off the risk in that assessment as you can. The extraordinarily high net benefit test as a floor, and then the results of this next item are a big part of that. Because if you miss, at least you're getting quite a bit of coverage on your miss. By which I mean, if they were going to do it anyway, at least you're getting quite a bit of coverage.
The question is, are they really going to move to Pennsylvania?
Correct. And that's Sandy, I'm sure we'll get into the hows and whys of all that. You mentioned why we don't do a ton of these. We're a pretty good ringer. Okay, applicants can testify. We'll have to at some point. We put them through a pretty good ringer.
Okay. Anyone else have any other questions? Okay. Sandy?
Yes, hello. Good morning. Yes, good morning. Reverend Robert Bryant, public.
Reverend. The public comment, unfortunately, was at the beginning of the meeting, so we're not accepting public comment at this time.
Thank you for your consideration.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. The members of the authority are asked to approve the proposed emerged New Jersey tax credit award with $740,000 per year over 7 years, in total $5,236,000, to induce Sun Pharmaceutical Industry Inc. to site the project in New Jersey and to adopt the recommendation by staff that the existing jobs in the application are at risk of being located outside New Jersey but not qualified to be incentivized. Next slide, please. So this slide has a summary of the projects and the applicant's background. The applicant's eMERGE program is Sun Pharmaceutical Industry, Inc. Its parent is headquartered and listed in India. The group's principal business is manufacturing and selling of pharmaceutical products. Its most recent global revenue is about $5.5 billion, with a workforce of 41,000 in 100 locations globally. In 2024, its parent completed its acquisitions of the remaining shares of Taro Pharmaceutical Group. Taro has a U.S. headquarters in Hawthorne, New York, near Tarrytown, which is a contributing affiliate in the application. The applicant in New Jersey currently has 305 employees in three locations, including the U.S. headquarters in Princeton, of which 75 of them are not part of the eMERGE application. The relevant project summary is in the following. The applicant is looking for a site to be its new U.S. headquarters, either in Princeton or in the alternative site, Horsham, PA. In doing so, the applicant plans to consolidate the two headquarters from it and its parent, the affiliate, relocate jobs from their respective location, as well as to create new jobs locally. The project involves 450 full-time corporate jobs in total, consisting of 192 jobs coming from the affiliate, 28 jobs to be locally created, as well as 230 jobs at risk. The New Jersey project total eligible capital investment a month is about $7 million. The New Jersey project location is 750 College Road East, Princeton. It's in Plainsboro Township of Middlesex County. Based on the facts and information provided in the application, which has later been certified by the applicant CEO, overall, staff concludes that after performing the relevant analysis, the award of the eMERGE tax credit is a material factor in the applicant's decision to locate the project in New Jersey. Only the 220 jobs, such as the 192 plus the 28, will be considered for award under the program. In this regard, it is estimated to be $7,748,000 per year over 7 years, in total $5,236,000. This represents the total awards per job of $3,400, consisting of 2,500 base awards, bonus for being in the target industry, life science, and exceeds the county median salary. The net positive economic benefits of the project to the state is over 1,300%, well exceeding the program 400%. To wrap up, the members of the board are asked to approve the proposed eMERGE New Jersey Tax Credit Award, $748,000 per year over 7 years, in total $5,236,000, to induce the applicant to site the project in New Jersey, and to adopt the recommended findings by the staff that the existing jobs in the applicant at risk of being located outside New Jersey but not qualified to be incentivized. Thank you for your time and consideration. Welcome, you have any questions?
One additional thing I note, this is all pay for performance, so if they create none of those 220 jobs, they get none of these dollars. And they have to do that for 7 years in a row. So this team, they do all those things, and that's a lot of lessons learned from prior programs. So this is all pay for performance. It's not like there's a Brinks truck at the Princeton Ambulance meeting.
Just out of curiosity, do we approve this? Do we know they're going to do it, or are they still?
So as part of this, one of the enhancements of this program prior to its predecessor is, yeah, they're required to sign a letter of intent prior to us going to this board meeting.
Oh, okay.
It says if this due, they intend to accept the offer. We hated it. We only had to deal with it for a year and a half, but a lot of folks would come and get approvals as such a cover bid for their home.
Sure, state. Right. That's,
we are, okay. That's not fully insurable as a risk, but putting out a press release. If you award this, they're putting out a press release and doing it. That's built into the legislation. That's not a trip material factor. If they say, you give us this, we'll do it. All those
questions?
Yeah.
Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Angela.
Thanks, Rob.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? And hearing none, the motion is approved. Next two, we have two Aspire awards today. So we're done with the room is empty.
I guess so, yeah.
Who's first up? Renee on Avenel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are seeking your approval for an award up to $17,377,106 in Aspire tax credits for the applicant Avenel Housing LLC, which will entail the new construction of a residential project known as Avenel Veterans. The project will be a residential development located on a 1.25-acre vacant lot in Avenel, Woodbridge Township, Middlesex County, within the Cedar Meadows redevelopment area. The project will include 60 units with a preference for veterans, seniors 55 and older, representing 60,000 square feet within a three-story building consisting of one and two bedroom units that are all affordable with rents ranging up to 60% of area median income. The applicant for the project is Avenel Housing LLC, which is an affiliate of Penrose LLC by various pass-through entities. Penrose LLC is also the lead development entity for this project. Legal review and sister agency checks were completed and cleared for this project. This project received a declaration of intent from HMFA in January 2025. The total project development budget is $31,799,899. To help size the award, we exclude costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules. This brings the total eligible cost to $28,961,843. The developer must also contribute at least 20% equity, or in this case, roughly $6.3 million. The equity in this project, when accounting for LIHTC proceeds and the deferred developer fee, exceeds that number at roughly $10.7 million, which satisfies this program's requirement. The sources table in the memo shows there are other sources of debt and public funds in the deal. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. In this case, the project is eligible to receive up to 60% of total eligible costs, or $90 million, whichever is less. Based on the aforementioned factors, we will be recommending an Inspire award up to $17,377,106 for board approval. If approved, this project would be built and ready for occupancy within 15 months of start of construction. Happy to take any questions at this time.
Explain the Veterans Board, how the selection is made.
The selection is going to be made by New Jersey Housing Mortgage and Finance Agency. This project received the LIHTC award from them, so they'll monitor those units. They'll monitor the rents up for the veteran units.
And there's a 20% affordable component.
This is all affordable.
The entire project's
correct. Affordable. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
In Penrose, we talked about this in committee. Penrose, we've done other transactions.
We have, and we've done two Aspire awards as well, and also other programs.
Any other comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? You're hearing that, going to hear a motion to approve.
Motion on Fred
Dumont.
Second. Second, Elijah.
Thanks, Phil. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? And the motion is approved. Thanks. Next, Dan on New Brunswick.
In addition, just one observation. One of the reasons these fire programs are such a important tool is it can do a lot of different things it can do. Affordable senior and veteran housing, and it can support building new Bell Labs. And so it's pretty varied and impactful tool.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. We are seeking your approval to award the Aspire tax credits and the amount not to exceed $103,934,885. Now, if you look at the picture before you, you'll notice three buildings, each a distinct phase, and what we call the Health and Life Science Exchange Innovation District in downtown New Brunswick. In February of 2023, an Aspire Award for Phase 1, this project known as H1, contains translational research space for Rutgers, an expanded medical school for Rutgers, and an innovation hub that brings together researchers, entrepreneurs, companies, and anchor institutions. We expect phase one to be completed within the next 12 months. The request before you represents phase two of Helix NJ. Known as H2, this project entails the construction of a 10-story building with approximately 370,000 square feet. Nokia Bell Labs will serve as the master tenant and lease the entire building. Nokia will use space as its North American R&D headquarters to partner with academia and companies in adjacent industries to solve unique challenges. The applicant entity is New Brunswick 2 LLC. There will be three members. The first is a special purpose entity of the lead development entity, SJP Properties. The second is a Morgan Stanley control REIT. And the third is Nokia as a separate class member. The lead development entity, SJP Properties, has developed several Class A office projects of similar scale and complexity here in New Jersey, including M Station in Morristown and the Prudential and Panasonic office towers in Newark. The total development budget is approximately $527 million. The total eligible cost is approximately $509 million. You should note that the applicant is pursuing a $10 million award under the authority's Strategic Innovation Center investment policy. The request will be on a future board agenda. The applicant is projecting an equity IRR without the award of a negative 1.14% and a positive 1.13% with the Aspire award. We commissioned JLL to conduct a feasibility analysis to examine the assumptions in the applicant's pro forma. As stated in the confidential memo, JLL concluded that the applicant assumptions are reasonable. However, JLL also found that if you were to use more market rate assumptions, the IRR would be higher. But the key point here is the project would still not be over-enriched. Normally, a project like this could qualify for an award up to 80% in this particular location. The amount we're recommending is close to 20%. The award is being constrained by the net fiscal impact analysis we conduct for commercial projects. Nokia is relocating operations from another part of the state, thus we net out those jobs from the calculation. It also should be noted that recent legislation added New Brunswick as a government-restricted municipality. As a result, the net benefit threshold was lower from 160% to 125%. This allowed the project to qualify for a higher award than it could have received before the legislation. So we are recommending this award, $103,934,885. If approved, this project will start construction immediately and take approximately 27 months to complete. Happy to take any questions at this time.
We'll start this afternoon.
If you go to the site,
no pressure.
You might see something.
You have to run the strip block.
Can you remind us how much? What fire award we need to do?
272 and change?
Yeah, like 270.
Yeah. Kind of ourselves, it's highly imaginable you'll see H3 before the end of the year. It should be exciting.
Comments, questions?
Motion to approve. Angela. Very excited.
Second.
Thanks. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you.
Well, any opposed, refusals, or objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. Just out of curiosity, I don't know if anybody knows off the top of their head, how many Aspire awards have we now made?
28.
Wow. $2 billion.
All over now, yeah. Are any of our projects completed yet?
I'm going to say the Manahan Village in Morristown.
For the rehab.
Yeah.
They're completed.
Yes.
Governor will cut some kind of ribbon on something or other, and he'll want it. Maybe the completion of the elevator installation new ceremony. But
I think we're thinking about a board meeting. But at some point, it'd be interesting to have a board meeting in one of our.
Oh, shared project.
Yeah,
or at least, near one. Okay, Charles, Real Estate Committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Real Estate Committee met on February 27th to review two items that were presented to my staff for consideration. The first is a proposed historic property reinvestment tax credit award for a rehabilitation project in Atlantic City. And the second item that was considered by Real Estate Committee was to approve and to enter into a MOU related to the development and leasing of the maternal and infant health facility here in Trenton. Staff will now present the details for the full board's consideration.
Charles, okay, first is the Ridley Loss Urban Renewal Entity.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here to present a recommendation for a tax credit award under the Historic Property Reinvestment Program to the Ridley Loss Urban Renewal Entity, LLC. in a not-to-exceed amount of $10,019,226 for the Ridley Loss Rehabilitation Project located in the Orange District in Atlantic City. The project consists of the complete rehabilitation of a five-story building, which was originally operated at the Atlantic City YMCA and has been sitting vacant for over 3 years, into 35 modern residential units and corresponding amenities. The applicant has confirmed that at least 20% of the newly created units will be low and moderate income units with affordability controls as required. The applicant is a subsidiary of Odin Properties LLC, which is a full-service developer with primary investment in multifamily real estate. The co-applicant for the project is Odin Forward, which is a nonprofit organization incorporated in 2021. While the EDA has not previously provided incentives for this site or any other project submitted by the applicant, tax credit under this program was in a not-to-exceed amount of $8 million, was approved in September for another project in Atlantic City, about actually 2 blocks from here, that for the Atlantic Loss project. That project is currently in pre-closing. Again, it got the award in September of last year. Next slide. The review of the application included sister agency legal and underwriting review, as well as full review of project costs, including eligible costs, and the proposed construction schedule, as well as review and scoring by scoring committee. The application received a score of 55.67 out of a possible 100, therefore meeting the or exceeding the minimum requirement of 50 for an award. And the underwriting review was completed, and they identified that the applicant demonstrated adequate sources of funding to cover all project costs, and they showed that they had a sale for the credits for 91 cents on the dollar, exceeding the required 85 cents on the dollar. And because the project is located in a government-restricted municipality, there is no financing gap requirement and no
performance.
Any questions? Be happy to.
And just common theme. Source of funding on this one is the Historical Preservation Tax Program.
Yes.
If I read this right, $250 million was available, and we have about $100 million left.
On the program itself, correct?
Yes.
Yes. They have. Out of it will be, I think we've had 250 has been already out, and out of that we have 101.
That's been really important. We talked about this. I think when we did the other one, we don't take these awards frequently because they're historic. They're historic properties.
That's right. Yes, but we're doing a sort of standalone redevelopment. Sometimes they'll show up as Spire applications, for example.
And we do have 8 on the pipeline right now. Good. Under the last application round that closed in December that I am process of review.
Was it competitive?
Yes, it's a competitive
program. Prior to 2021, New Jersey was one of 11 states that didn't have a state level historic property tax credit. The list, not the bad list. It's a great partnership. DEP and the Department of State and DCA are great partners for preservation.
Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments, or questions? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Second. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. Brian on Maternal Infant Health Center.
Good afternoon. Sorry, your meeting has gone till noon. I think this is your last piece, but congratulations. So this is a project that you've heard a lot about, the Maternal Infant Health Authority. Congratulations to the authority of Tim and Mary and Tara for the purchase of the property that will be redeveloped into the Maternal Infant Health Center right up the street here in Trenton. I'm here today to ask for the approval of the board that EDA be the developer of the property. So we have secured the financing for the development. We have acquired the property, and we are in the design process for construction, which is hopefully going to start soon. EDA will be the owner and the developer of the property, as outlined in the MOU that is attached to your agenda. Secondly, I am here to ask for
for your approval of the letter of intent for EDA to lease the property to the Maternal Infant Health Authority. It'll be a triple net lease for $1. They will be, Maternal Infant Health Authority will be responsible for all costs associated with the maintenance and operations of the property and any subleases. EDA will manage the property on a day-to-day basis and contracts for maintenance of the elevators, sprinkler systems, fire alarm systems, those sort of general operations. So those are the three approvals that we are seeking here today. Any questions?
Do we do this for other buildings?
We do manage other properties, yes.
Just give us the Board of Central.
New Jersey Bioscience Center is your biggest asset that you manage, and it's about 12 acres and a lot of tens of thousands of square feet. How much? 46,000 square feet. And in this case, we'll be owning this and then leasing it as well to the Maternal Infant Health. We also have a taxation household.
And we are paid a management fee?
We will be
we'll
paid.
We'll pay it well, once we manage the building.
Yes. Our costs will be covered for managing the property.
Any questions?
It goes without saying it'd be a single tenant, right?
It'll be a single tenant, and then there'll be subtenants to the tenant. Rutgers University, Trenton, health team, Capital Health will all be working together with the Maternal Infant Health Center to implement the programs. But we will have one tenant in the Maternal Infant Health Center.
Okay, comments or questions? Anyone on the phone? We're hearing none. Can I hear a motion to approve? Robert, second. You? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tim, board memorandum.
In the hour, I'll be super brief. You have two memos in your pack that are highlighting the digital media tax credit. You had delegated us authority as staff a year or so ago so that we don't have to bring every single film item here. I would continue to approve lots of those projects there. Delegated basis 7 in Q4 of last year. The manufacturing voucher program also continues to rock and roll. We're now in the process of reviewing and closing. About 3 applications as well. So obviously a lot happens between meetings. I didn't mention Term SEO, but we also have a board dashboard, which gives you a bit of a chronicle. What happens month to month on various programs. Have to take any questions. Any discussion?
Just real quick, I love this part because there's so many companies here. And two, the Coriel has a 2 stars next to it. It doesn't. I don't see what 2 stars mean anywhere else.
No idea. Anyone want to help me out?
About 65. And one later on also. But yeah. The MVP phase 1, disbursements, 2 stars for Coriel, and goes up later as well.
That's the Camden one, isn't it?
Can I buy you a follow-up on that?
Yes.
Find out what's up with that. Get back.
Tim, I showed Rob. There's a 29 swirling parachute, 30-year-old parachute company in Hamilton,
right,
that made parachutes for our great soldiers in World War II.
That meant that we did an event at the high school, at the Trent Central High School, around manufacturing, awareness, whatever, meant the cannabis, right? So
it's
more the 5th generation?
It is.
Yep. That the woman who currently runs it, or is the it's a very cool company.
Great business and that stuff.
Great. Okay. To Russ, what we support 16 times more individual businesses and organizations, nonprofits, childcare centers, et cetera, than we did when government took office 16 times. Thanks. I think that's probably the high watermark.
Yeah. Goes without saying, right? We went through all different programs today. And the sources of funding that, it's the state clearly is supporting our efforts.
Amen.
As well as Reggie. Any further comments or questions? Anyone on the board? Anyone on the phone? Can you hear a motion to adjourn?
Reggie,
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thank you for all those on the phone. This concludes our meeting. Thank you, operator.
Happy birthday.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.